Hi, my name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto. And I have been reading and wondering and preaching professionally for, 30 years. So this is a daily podcast of me reading and then wondering out loud about Matthew's gospel. Music for this podcast is written, performed, and produced by Drew Winters, and for that I am truly grateful. And as long as I'm talking about gratitude, I also want you to know that I'm grateful that you're tuning in, that you're interested in wondering. I am truly convinced that Scripture is alive when we read it and wonder about it. It speaks to us anew every day. It challenges us, it provokes us, it thrills us, but only if we dare to wonder about it. So, Monday to Friday, you can listen to me read and wonder. I will sometimes challenge what's being said. I will often delight in what's being said. I will sometimes scratch my head and confess that I don't get it. I will occasionally lean into preaching, but I will try to stay away from that. What I'm hoping is that in my wondering, I might spark something in you that you might wonder. Even better, that you might share it with somebody else and together wonder. And you see, it's in that wondering together that we actually come to hear the Word of God. So that's my plan, to help you and to help myself hear the Word of God today. Now, I should tell you that what you're about to listen to is an audio version of a video recording that I made 2 weeks ago. There are videos of these. If you want to find them, you can search me out on YouTube, Norm Seeley. You can find me there, or you can go to the Jubilee United Church website, which is www.jubileeunited.ca. Or just listen to these and imagine that I look very, very wise. Thanks for joining me. Let's get on with the wondering. And today we're in Matthew 27, verses 11 to 14. You may recall that yesterday we started Matthew 27 and Judas repented, betraying Jesus, returned the money, and then hanged himself. All of this happened while Jesus was being taken to Pilate to be, tried, examined, whatever, condemned, ultimately is what they want, by Pilate. And so that's kind of where we are. So it's Matthew 27, 11 to 14. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. So it's a neat dramatic moment, I suppose, where Jesus won't play the game, right? So Pilate asks him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Understanding that Herod is the king of the Jews because Rome says so. So if Jesus says that he's the king of the Jews, well, then why are the Jews bringing you here to me? But also, are you then a threat to Rome? Because the empire has already said that Herod is the king of the Jews, so you are, what, inviting a revolt? You won't follow what we've said? So there's the potential there for Jesus to be found guilty of something, fomenting some kind of revolution, I suppose. But Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus acknowledges that it's being said, but puts it back at, you say so. So then the chief priests and the elders who brought Jesus there to be condemned, they start asking questions, but he refuses to answer them. He won't play their game. And I think that that's significant. Because Pilate says to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he says nothing. Doesn't speak out against anything. And I suppose that Pilate would have been accustomed to or expected Jesus to fight back
And to say, no, 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 what they're saying, it's not true. I never said that. I didn't do this. That's wrong. They've got it all wrong. They're out to get me. It's not fair. All of that stuff that one says when one is being unjustly accused, when one is about to be convicted of something for which they are not guilty. You expect someone to get, if not frantic about it, at least passionate about it. No! Jesus isn't doing that, which throws Pilate off. For me, the part that sticks out is that Jesus is not going to play their game. And for me, that's very clear in this story. And that's meaningful to me. There are times when I wander into situations that to me may seem unjust or unfair. Sometimes it's criticism or attacks at me personally. And so I tend to then lean in and fight back. Right, I learn the rules of the argument and I go at it. So if people are going to be insulting, I can be insulting back. If people are going to bring charges, I can bring legal defenses back. Whatever seems to work in that situation, I'm going to lean into that because ultimately I want to win my argument. Jesus isn't doing that. Jesus is not participating in their game. Because there is no argument, perhaps. Jesus is who he says he is. And it's abundantly obvious to anybody who wants to see, but those who do not want to see, they're not going to see it no matter what happens. So Jesus is not playing the game. When I think about what goes on in sort of my community these days, and the growing tension between those who are vaccinated and those who are not vaccinated. And each side is playing the other's game, as it were, hurling insults and doing everything they can to agitate, to anger the other side. It's not even a question of right or wrong at this point. They're just really angry at each other. And I listen to this story and I go, right, I need to stop playing that game. I may think that those people are wrong, those people are unfair, those people are all sorts of different things. But as I play the game, it just keeps going and growing and getting worse. And I listen to this story and Jesus goes, I'm not playing the game. I sometimes wonder about that. For me, the truth of who Jesus is obvious. He has given everybody the signs. If, you know, if they have the eyes to see, then they will see. If they have no desire to see, then they will never see. I get that. I sometimes wonder if that works in my world as well. There are times when I think the truth is so obvious that if you're not getting it, it's because you don't want to get it. And so no argument I'm going to offer is going to make a difference. So why am I arguing? I stop arguing. Now, I am, you know, courting the potential here of starting an argument with somebody. But personally, from where I sit and from the things that I have seen and experienced, without medical reason, not being vaccinated is a problem. I think you owe it to the community and to yourself to get vaccinated. And yes, there is a risk. There's a risk in everything that we do, but we take small risks for the betterment of the community all the time. And this is what I believe that you should take. That's my belief. I do know people who don't believe that, and they will not be vaccinated at this point. And I have wanted to argue with them and yell at them and scream at them until eventually I intimidate them into doing what I think is the right thing. Spoiler alert, it hasn't worked at all. I have not bullied anybody into doing what I believe is the right thing. And I think that's what we're seeing right here, is Jesus realizing there's no fight to be had here. I'm not going to bully Pilate into understanding who I am. I'm not going to bully the people into understanding who I am. They know. And if they don't know, they're never going to know, because they are not willing to see the truth that is before them. Sometimes it's as if we need to actually trust the truth. Sometimes we need to trust God. And that's hard, because I like to win the argument myself. I don't like to leave anything up to chance. I work with a group of people who are wonderful people, brilliant people in so many ways. And we have a couple of decisions to make in the very near future. And there's part of me that just wants to just keep pushing at them to make what I believe will be the right decision. I don't necessarily want to coerce them, but I do want to argue with them in such an overwhelming way that they just, they give up. But if I really do trust that what I am after is the right thing, that it is somehow in conjunction with God's will, then I need to put it out there and trust. I need to stop playing that political game, that bullying game, that manipulative game, and just see what happens. Now, here, what happens is that Jesus is crucified, so it doesn't seem like a good advertisement for it. But again, let's remember that Jesus said himself, he has come here to be crucified. Right? He prayed to God to maybe change the path, and that didn't happen as far as Jesus was concerned, and so Jesus accepts God's will. So Jesus is not playing the game, he is following God's path. So maybe that's a message to me, that sometimes you just stop playing the game, even though you know it's right, and discern what God's path really is, and trust that God's will be done, even though you don't make it happen with your strength of argument or force of personality or whatever it may be. So I wonder about that. The other thing is that Jesus essentially remains silent in the face of all these charges. And the question, are you the King of Jews? Jesus remains silent, which is quite clever, I suppose, quite cunning. And I think it's also... an invitation from Matthew for us to also wonder who Jesus is. Are you the King of the Jews? You say so. Then along come the charges. Jesus isn't playing the game. Jesus isn't saying. And it's then an opportunity for you and me to say for ourselves or to others who Jesus is to us. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to me? In fact, if Jesus had answered any of the charges, if Jesus had answered Pilate, then maybe we don't get to decide for ourselves. I don't know that Jesus knew there was a book deal when he was before Pilate, that the scriptures, the Bible, would be published telling the story. But I suspect that Matthew did. And so... So acknowledging that Jesus says nothing invites me to say something in my own head, to actually wonder who Jesus is to me. King of the Jews? Yeah, I guess, sure, probably, maybe. Does that matter to me? No, not at all. No. So who is Jesus to me? And so I get to wonder about who Jesus is and think about that connection, that bridge between the human and the divine. I get to see Jesus as the evidence of God's presence in the world, of God's interest in humanity, of God's interest in me. I get to see that. The one who is obedient unto death and shows me what faith actually looks like. There are so many things that I can say about Jesus, and Jesus's silence is an opportunity for me to say some of those things out loud to myself, to another person, perhaps. If Jesus answers, then Jesus has defined himself, at least in that moment. And I don't believe that Jesus can be defined in a single moment or from a single perspective. So Jesus's answer of silence is, for me, remarkably true. That is to say, Jesus is indescribable. You know, when you think of the claims that we make in terms of faith, when we think of the lessons that we learn when we read Scripture, it's very hard to pin Jesus down and say, oh no, here's the thing that Jesus is, that thing and only that thing. Because then, oh no, wait, but Jesus is this. And wait, no, but Jesus is this. And so when I read feminist theology and feminist Christology, when they talk about Jesus as feminist, it's very powerful. When I read queer theology and a queer understanding of who Jesus is, it's very powerful. And it has that sense of authenticity. It has that sense of potential because Jesus didn't answer. Are you the king of the Jews? You say so. If Jesus said, yes, yes, I am. Then went, okay, so Jesus is the king of the Jews. Ah, okay. So that tends to be restrictive because now I'm going to think of everything as being part of that tradition of the kings of the Jews, reminding myself as well that God really didn't think that the Jews needed or should have a king. So that's tricky if that's how I've narrowed Jesus down as the king of the Jews, right? I'm happy for Jesus to be the king of the Jews, but I also need to think of Jesus in other ways. Jesus as redeemer, Jesus as the lover of my soul, Jesus as my friend in a deep, powerful way. All of these things are available to me because Jesus didn't define himself, even in trying to defend himself before Pilate. No defense, no definition. Therefore, I am invited to talk about and think of Jesus in new ways. Who is Jesus to me? I can tell you about who Jesus is to me without fear of contradiction. I am free to wonder about Jesus. I am also free to make Jesus's case where it needs to be made because Jesus didn't. So I'm invited to wonder. Okay, so how do I talk about Jesus in a way that is meaningful? When I say that Jesus is innocent and doesn't deserve to die, what does that mean? What does that mean to me? Jesus' silence for me is actually quite profound. And so with that in mind, what I think I want to do is just let this passage go for now and try some of that profound silence myself. But invite you to wonder a little bit about who Jesus is to you, how Jesus fits into your life, into the life of the community. I invite you to spend some time wondering about how we play the game and what would happen if we stopped playing the game, any of the games that are presented to us. The games that assure us a job with a future. The games that assure us what looks like a relationship. May or may not be. I don't know, but I can talk about what it looks like. And the games that we play with ourselves so that we are not moved to change. Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of things to consider here, and so I am going to leave those things with you. But for now, let us pray. Loving God, we think of Jesus standing before us. And instead of us questioning him, he asks of us, who do you say that I am? Who am I? We are invited to wonder. And as we wonder about who Jesus is to us, we get to wonder a little bit about ourselves and who we are in relation to Jesus, who we are in relation to you, who we are in relationship with each other. God be with us as we wonder today. be with us as we wonder about Jesus and wonder about ourselves. And in the wondering, God, let us hear your word, that we might grow, that we might follow. We pray through the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. And friends, that'll be it for me today, but I look forward to checking in with you tomorrow. Until we do get to check in, you hear me say it nearly every time, God bless you. Please know that God sees you, that God loves through you. And you matter. You matter a great deal. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow.